We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Wachumski.
And this is Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark. I'm coming to you from my office here at Ascension Lutheran Church in beautiful South St. Louis.
And we want to welcome everybody to Wrestling with the Basics on this Independence Day, the 250th year of the celebration of our nation's independence. If you happen to be listening to us when we broadcast this originally. And I was thinking we'd do some Independence Day jokes. So I went to our AI, Claude. Of course, we are the AI Bible study. Claude's not going to put any comedians out of business. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It just,
Artificial intelligence has not mastered humor.
It's smart, that's right, but it's not funny. So I went to a couple websites, and again, I can see where, because, you know, Claude's just getting its information from the internet, and apparently the internet too. But I did come run across the Reader's Digest, and Reader's Digest, I grew up with Reader's Digest. You didn't, did you, Matt? You don't even know what Reader's Digest is.
Huh? What? Reader's what?
No. Yeah, and so they would always have little jokes at the end of the articles, and would have, like, Life in the United States, which would be a section with all. So, well, let me just quit talking and just throw a few of them out for you. What did the colonists wear to the Boston Tea Party?
I don't know, John.
Well, of course, T-shirts. What do you think they would wear? Here's a good one. What was the most popular dance in 1776? The most popular dance.
I don't know.
Independence.
Oh, my goodness, John.
Okay, this will maybe save it. Here's a good one.
If these are better than the AI ones, I hate to hear the AI.
Oh, man, jokes. Yeah, you don't. You wouldn't want to. Seriously. What was the most... we did that one. What does the Statue of Liberty stand for? What does the Statue of Liberty stand for?
Well, I would think liberty, John, but...
It can't sit down. That's why it's... It's a statue. It couldn't sit down if you wanted to. Okay. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe that's enough. Oh, here's a good one. This is a classic. Why did Paul Revere ride his horse from Boston to Lexington?
Why, John?
Because the horse was too heavy to carry. What do you expect him to do with the horse? Of course he's going to ride. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. What about the Liberty Bell one, John? You told me the Liberty Bell went off the air. You got that?
Oh, what was that? I don't even remember, man. I've tried to blot those things out of my mind.
It was the Liberty Bell really cracked us up. Is that?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, the Liberty Bell. Did you hear the joke about the Liberty Bell?
About the Liberty Bell. The bell itself didn't know, but the joke really cracked us up.
It really cracked us up.
Oh, gee.
All right. Well, there we go. Right now, our country's forefathers are rolling over in their graves. I think for 250 years of freedom for this, this is what we get. So,
Hopefully our listeners find better ways to celebrate Independence Day today.
But we actually do have some really, we want to talk about citizenship, our nation, on the basis of what the Bible has to teach. And where do you want to lead us in that discussion, Matt?
Yeah, thanks, John. You know, this is something we're focusing on. Ascension is a little sermon series this summer. We started Flag Day weekend, June the 14th, and we're going to wrap it up this weekend, Independence Day weekend. And just thinking through, what does that look like to be Christians, but Christians in the United States of America? And when we talk about issues, sometimes we call them church and state issues, or sometimes theologians call it the kingdom of the right, kingdom of the left. That can be kind of a powder keg, right, John? You know, start talking about those issues. So I think sometimes in the church, we avoid talking about that. But I think that can be a disservice too, because I think people in the pew and the pastor in the pulpit too, for that matter, Really want to know, well, what does that look like? How do I live my life as a Christian in my country? What is that relationship? So as an effort to look at that a little bit, John, I want to look today at citizenship in particular. Okay, citizenship, as we celebrate the 250th of our nation.
So where would you like me to go, man?
Yeah, John, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 22 for starters, because the Apostle Paul, he knows a little bit about citizenship. And this is one example where Paul's citizenship and his citizenship here in this world, okay, his political citizenship, it mattered. And it relates directly to his work as an apostle. So Acts chapter 22. We're going to set the scene here. He's in Jerusalem, and he is sharing Christ, right? He's sharing the gospel, and we see what happens in this particular episode. So Acts chapter 22, beginning with verse 22. John, if you could start there for us.
Okay. And as I'm looking that up, I should point out, you're right, it is controversial, and I think we would acknowledge that there are different Christian groups, denominations that think we should not be involved. In fact, to be involved in the state would be sinful, that we need to separate ourselves from all kinds of worldly endeavors, including we, however, who are members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I think, as you've kind of hinted, no, we feel, yeah, that's a good vocation, that in fact Christians should be involved in the state. Although, as you also kind of alluded, there is a separation between God's kingdom on the right and God's kingdom on the left, that kingdom of the state, the kingdom of the church. They operate under different principles, but certainly, yeah, we're citizens. All right, so you wanted to read verse 22?
Yeah, let's start there.
How far down, Matt?
Well, let's just get it started, John, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
I might just interrupt you.
So we might be reading the entire book of Acts by the time we're done? Is that what we're indicating? You really don't have any idea where I should stop reading. Have you prepared this at all?
You'd be surprised, John.
I wouldn't be surprised.
All right.
Up to this word, they listened to him. That is Paul. Who are we talking about? Who's the they there, Matt?
So it's the people here in Jerusalem. But now they've kind of had enough of Paul. Okay, so they're fed up. And so they're going to have him basically arrested. So here's where you see kind of, church and state, right? And to a certain extent, he's going to be arrested. He's going to be taken to the barracks in Jerusalem. And that's where the whole issue of citizenship comes up. Okay, so anyway.
Okay. Up to this word, they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live." And as they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, it looks like the UFC match that they just had a week ago. Anyway, the tribune ordered him to be brought into the barracks, saying that he should be examined by flogging. Man, I'm glad we have a different court system today.
Examined by flogging. I know.
To find out why they were shouting. Why don't you flog the guys that are shouting against him? Well, anyway. But when they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, "Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard this, he went to the tribune and said to him, "What are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen." So the tribune came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" And he said, "Yes." The tribune answered, "I bought this citizenship for a large sum." Paul said, "But I am a citizen by birth." So those who were about to examine him withdrew from him immediately, and the tribune was also afraid, for he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had bound him. What all is right. this all about,
There
Brad?
You go, John. Yeah. So, citizenship, right? So here's Paul, and the Jews have had enough, right? They call for his arrest, and then he's about to be flogged. In fact, they've stretched him out for the whips.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can kind of picture Paul there being his limbs stretched out so that the whips, hurt even more. His beating is maximized. And as he's there being stretched out, as they're running the whips, he says, he brings up his citizenship, right? Is it lawful for you to flog a man who's a Roman citizen and uncondemned? Okay. There hasn't been a trial or anything. He is a Roman citizen.
Yeah.
And then everything just stops. All right. So this is, you know, the centurion, though, this is even above his pay grade.
Oh,
he
yeah.
has to take
yeah.
it to the tribune there, who says, wait a second. I bought my citizenship as a Roman for a large sum of money. How are you a citizen? And Paul replies, well, he's a citizen
by birth, right?
So, I mean, for us, you know, okay, Paul's a Roman citizen. And for us today, we're like, well, that sounds nice. but it was a big deal. It was a big deal in the first century. To be a Roman citizen meant that you had different privileges, different rights that other people in the world just did not have. It's one of the most valued possessions a person could have is their Roman citizenship. So, for instance, in this case, unjust punishments, you could appeal. You could appeal all the way to Caesar. And as we read on in the book of Acts, that's exactly what Paul does. He appeals to Caesar himself in Rome. But all these open doors that citizenship as a Roman provided throughout the entire empire, just incredible. So someone would pay a large sum of money for it, right? But not Paul. Paul is a citizen by birth. So the question is then, how does Paul use his Roman citizenship? Because again, great perks to being a Roman citizen, right? Job opportunities, travel, all sorts of things.
Is that right?
Bro, travel, yeah.
Probably
yeah.
got discount tickets at the airlines.
Not bad, John. Yeah.
I did not know that part of Roman.
If you've got a Roman citizen passport, you're in. But what is, so you could use it for self-serving reasons, your Roman citizenship, right? But how does Paul use it? And I would suggest Paul uses it ultimately for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the gospel.
Yeah.
So, you know, because I think we read this text, John, and we think, well, you know, wait a second. He's just using his citizenship to get out of a beating, right?
Well, that's where I would go. He's trying to save his neck, which is okay. Well,
and who can blame him? We would do the same thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But when you look at Paul's life up to this point, this ain't the first time he's getting whipped, right?
No.
In fact, later in his letter to the Corinthians, he enumerates, right, all the suffering that he endures, right? And it's a long list. So he's endured beatings and whippings and shipwrecks and floggings and starvation, and the list goes on and on, right? And there's other times where he's beaten, and he does not appeal to his Roman citizenship.
No.
But he does here. He does here. And I would suggest that it's for the greater purpose of sharing the gospel. So he uses his Roman citizenship not for selfish reasons, but for the sake of the gospel. And again, as we read on, he appeals to Caesar himself, which allows him the opportunity to go to Rome. So at the end of in the middle of the next chapter, chapter 23, John, I'll go ahead and read it. But verse 11, it says, the following night, the Lord stood by Paul and said, take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, you must testify also in Rome. So, you know, God himself, Jesus, speaking to him here, wants him to go to Rome. And so he uses that citizenship to do just that, to go to Rome, to go before Caesar, and to share the gospel, as we'll read on, with everyone along the way while he travels to the city of Rome. So again, he uses his citizenship for the sake of the gospel.
So I would add two things. One, it is kind of an affirmation of what you just said, that one of the great things about our citizenship is that we do live in a country where there is free speech, and we should take advantage of that.
Yeah.
I mean, other countries, for example, in communist China, I don't think they would allow a show like Wrestling with the Basics to even be aired.
Yeah.
Probably there are people here in the United States that say it shouldn't be allowed either. But thank heavens we have free speech.
Don't look at China, no.
Yeah, whether you like our dumb jokes or not, we have the right to say it. But so anyway, yeah, that's a great thing about our citizenship, and we should take advantage of that, the fact that we can tell people about the love of Jesus. I would add, though, however, I know what you're going, because that's the story. He wants to go to Rome. He wants to proclaim the gospel. In fact, there's a whole book he'll write from his proclamations in Rome. And yet, on the other hand, I think also as Christians, we don't just need to let people beat us up. If we have a way of getting out of that, then we should do that. There is no honor in the fact that, oh, I got beaten when I could have avoided that beating. If you can't avoid it in order to proclaim the gospel, then you have no choice. But again, yeah, if you have a citizenship or something that would protect you, you should use that to that ends. I think sometimes we think, oh, suffering, that's what we need to do. And my answer is, if you need suffering, Jesus will give it to you. God will give it to you. You don't need to go looking for it. So anyway, I just throw that in my two bits too.
Oh yeah, and I think we see it in Paul's life, you know, again and again. There's times where he snuck out of a city by a basket there over a wall, right, to keep him safe and so that he can go on and share the gospel. There's other times where, no, he is beaten. And it seems as though, well, what, you know, what, not only what best serves Paul, but what best serves the gospel.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means suffering, but sometimes, no, it means, like you said, it means avoiding it and, yeah, living so that you can continue to proclaim the gospel and go on to the next town. So, yeah. All right, good. The Paul born into his citizenship, right? Some people have said that to be born a U.S. citizen, kind of similar to Roman citizenship, right? Some have said, you know, to be born in the USA is to win the lottery, John. What a blessing to be born in the U.S. and the privileges, right, that our citizenship affords when you think about it, because it really does, more so than in some other places. I think sometimes we take that for granted if we were born here. I think of our ancestors, though, John, who came, most of our ancestors, most of our listeners, they came at some point to the U.S. They valued their U.S. citizenship, and they gained it at great cost, you know, traveling across oceans for many of them, overcrowded ships, arriving on the shores and facing poverty and working difficult jobs and probably enduring discrimination, too, depending on where they're from. We could probably each tell stories about that, our own families, you know, coming to the United States to become citizens of this land.
If I could just inject, my own family, they grew up in Concordia, Missouri, for anybody that knows about, and during World War I, they were still teaching in German. Of course, they were German immigrants, and they burned down the school. Burned down the school. See? So, that's true. Persecution happens. Yeah,
I know. Great example, right? I was talking to a newer American. His name's Eric. Worships here at Ascension. His children, three kids, have gone to Word of Life School, our Lutheran school. Came to the United States about 8 or 9 years ago, and from the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
There you go.
So one of the questions he had for me pretty early on was, Pastor, is it okay to tell other people about Jesus here in the United States?
Wow.
To which I answered, of course it is, Eric. Yeah. You know, sadly, as Christians, maybe we don't always do that, right? But of course it's okay. But you know, he knows it's not okay in other places. You know, he knows that there's nations where publicly talking about Jesus is restricted in all sorts of different ways. You know, you mentioned China, prime example. North Korea comes to my mind too, maybe the most restrictive, where, you know, any talk of religion is viewed as a threat to the government's ideology, right? Even possessing a Bible can lead to imprisonment in labor camps. Somalia is another example. Small Christian population there. The only official religion is Islam. And then we have a deaconess, Christiana Biracoy. She teaches at Unity Lutheran High School in East St. Louis. She's from Nigeria, and she's shared how her own family members and people from the town she came from are being persecuted very much so in Nigeria right now. It's a flashpoint. She knows it firsthand. So there's different places where, you can't share Jesus publicly without some sort of suffering or repercussions, but here in the United States, we can. And so, take advantage of that, right? Just like Paul, let's not just use our American citizenship for privilege and to serve self, but can we use our citizenship for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the gospel? And maybe that looks like, yeah, coming to worship because we can. Yep. Without fear. What a privilege to gather together in God's house. You know, own a Bible, use your Bible, share Christ publicly, love our neighbor in the name of Christ, raise our children in the Christian faith without fear. You know, thanks be to God for that freedom we have as American citizens. But again, let's use that citizenship for the sake of the gospel, as Paul did in this example from Acts 22.
So you were telling me you have another passage that you...
Yeah, the other passage I want to look at is very much about citizenship. So again, these are the words of Paul, and we want to go to Philippians now. So we're going to go to Philippians chapter 3, and familiar words, as Paul contrasts sort of living for self, being citizens of the world, contrasts that with being... a different kind of citizen. So at Philippians chapter 3, let's read verses 17 through 21.
Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But here it comes, right?
Here it is.
But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. So again, this contrast here between those who set their minds on earthly things, and then he describes what that looks like, but he says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're different. You know, our citizenship isn't just earthly, right? But our citizenship ultimately as Christians is in heaven. And I think, you know, the people in Philippi in particular that he's writing to here in this book we call Philippians, maybe we're a little shocked by this. So Philippi was the city where people were very, very proud to be Roman citizens.
Oh, that's right. I remember reading about that. Yeah.
So Philippi was that city where a lot of veterans retired to from the Roman legions. And they were proud of the fact that they belonged to Rome. And so he's writing to them saying, well, no, it's not just about earthly things, folks. No, our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we will wait a Savior, right? So I think that's important for us to realize, too, that, yeah, whether we live in Philippi in the Roman Empire or whether we live in St. Louis or New Athens in the United States of America, as Christians, our present citizenship, our eternal citizenship is in heaven, as Paul points out for us. So very important for us to realize.
So the thing is, whatever country you live in, and we, of course, are rejoiced in the fact that we do live in a country that allows us to have the freedom of speech, allows us to have freedom of religion. But if we lived in North Korea, if we lived in China, we would still need to remember that our citizenship is in heaven and with Jesus Christ. And so now you're back to what you said about Paul. So in those circumstances, we still need to talk about the gospel. Even though it means that we may get beaten because we can't say, well, we've got free speech or freedom of religion. And yet, isn't it a shame that here in the United States, where we have those freedoms, we sometimes are so reluctant to even talk about what we believe in Jesus Christ. But again, as we've emphasized in this show repeatedly, and as you and I well know personally, we are a bunch of sinners, aren't we? We are a bunch of sinners, and sometimes it's reflected in our actions. Oh, more than sometimes. Probably always,
amen. And I think along those lines, John, just this recognition too, that, you know, Paul was born a Roman citizen. Many of us listening were probably born U.S. citizens, right? But, you know, and this might sound shocking to some of our listeners, but none of us were born citizens of heaven.
Oh, yes.
Not one of us. We were born citizens of Adam's fallen race, born, conceived even, right, in original sin, born into sin, born under death, right? We are not natural-born citizens of heaven. That is not how it works, right? So there was a great cost to becoming a Roman citizen. There is a great cost to becoming an American citizen. We think of the cost paid by our ancestors. We think of cost paid by new Americans today, and you know the interviews they go through, the tests, the fees that are paid to become a legal U.S. citizen. It's an extensive process. There is also a great cost, even greater cost, to becoming a citizen of heaven. But the gospel message is we didn't pay that cost, yeah. Right, John? Jesus Christ has already paid that cost for us, that price, to make us citizens of heaven. And we know how he did that, right? By coming to this earth, leaving the glories of heaven himself, going to the cross, suffering, dying, going to the tomb, rising again from the dead. He's the one who paid the cost for us. And so we think of Peter, and he writes in the New Testament that you were ransomed, you were bought, right? Not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. So that's, you know, that's how we became citizens. It was bought with that holy, precious, innocent blood of the Son of God himself as he died on the cross for us. So thanks be to God for that price for our citizenship that's been paid by Jesus. Yeah.
And I think we can parallel that with the citizenship we have here in the United States as well, especially on this anniversary of the 250th celebration of our independence. Mm-hmm. The reminder that, no, that came at a cost too, a war battle. You know, our forefathers, they had to fight to have what we enjoy now, as you said, freely. But you're right, nothing of that compares to the cost that Jesus Christ paid so that we could have the spiritual freedom and the eternal freedom. But yeah, I guess as the old saying goes, freedom isn't free, is it, Matt?
Yeah. 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 Exactly. It is costly, and Jesus is the one who paid the price. Yeah. And I just think, you know, too, we talk about this whole idea of citizenship, right? Yeah. And we are citizens of heaven, no doubt about it. But I love this idea too, that not only are we citizens of heaven, but because of Christ, through our baptism, we are also even called heirs of his kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, and think about how wonderful that is. You know, what king on earth would ever call us? He might call us a citizen. He would definitely call us a subject, right? You know, I think of the musical Hamilton, and King George is always calling them their sweet submissive subjects, right? but wow, what a wonderful king we have. We're not just subjects, and we're not even just citizens, although we are, but we're also heirs. You know, what other king would do that? No earthly king would ever make me his heir. No way. And yet God does. God does in Christ. And what a beautiful citizenship that is, and what a beautiful sonship and daughtership that is in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, because that's the fact. Because when it comes to the church, we're children, and he's Father. We talk about the fathers of our nation, but I think there's a little different sense in there than when we talk about God being our Father.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, thank you very much, especially on this July 4th at our 250th anniversary. We pray all of us will know that we're citizens of heaven, and that we're also citizens, and we should apply, preach the gospel whatever opportunity we have. This has been Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.